Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing in iTunes. This week's show, of course, brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. It's also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. And it's brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided snow goose hunts in the month of March coming up in South Dakota. And it's also brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up March 9th, 10th, and 11th. We'll have more information about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. All right, well, next weekend, March 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Warner Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds in St. Paul, it's the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. And to tell us more about it and what we were able to see there, what we were able to do there, is Rob Dreeslein from Outdoor News. Rob, are you ready for next weekend?
Good question. Yeah, I think we are. Gearing up for a show like this is quite a challenge. It's a lot of work, but we've invested a lot of effort and we're excited, and this is our third year, and we think it's going to be our best event ever by far.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know how much history you want to go into, but of course there was a Deer Classic for many years, and that went away, and you guys decided to start one up, so it's essentially not the same show, but it's very similar, and you'd probably say it's even better.
Well, yeah, we'd like to think so. Yeah, no, I think you summed it up pretty well. You know, there was the previous show that eventually, you know, left the Coliseum, and we just decided, you know what, it's a location that everyone recognizes. You know, everyone from around the state's comfortable going to the fairgrounds. People went to the Deer Classic there for years, so let's do the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic there. And it's the facility, you know, the fairgrounds, they've done a good job improving the facility. It gets better every year, and yeah, we're excited. We got some great headliners. We've got Lee and Tiffany Lukoski. I think anyone who's seen their TV show The Crush on outdoor television will be excited to meet them. I mean, I was at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas here a month or so ago, and you know, people in the industry were lined up to get Lee and Tiffany's autographs. So you know, I think a lot of our consumer folks will be excited to see them. Nicole Reaver back.
Isn't that amazing? I'm sorry, Rob, I don't mean to interrupt you, but isn't that amazing?
No.
Just the I saw them at SHOT or ATA, not last year, but the year before. I can't remember which show it was, but it's just amazing, especially at an industry show like that. Just amazing the drawing power that they have.
Yeah, well, and they're a neat story, and Outdoor News is linked to that story. You know, and, Tiffany, her first photo with her first deer was on the front cover of Outdoor News. I believe it was in 1998 or 1999, when she was, I think she was out of her teens. She may have been in her early 20s then. And then her and Lee got married, and they've become an absolute institution, you know, in outdoor media. Here in the United States, we're lucky to have them so close. They're down in Iowa. Like I was saying, in addition, we've got Pat and Nicole Reeve, who are from Southeast Minnesota, and then this Melissa Bachman's really come on strong. She will be there, a very popular, hardworking gal who she's been to a couple of our past shows, and the youth just love her. They just really respond to her, and I think that's wonderful for our sport.
Yeah, she's great. And you know, Rob, I've been on the cover of Outdoor News. I didn't gain all sorts of fame and get my own hunting show. Well, I guess I do have a hunting show now, but
hey, come on, yeah.
All right, Rob Dreeslein, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up next weekend at the State Fairgrounds. And you talk about Lee and Tiffany driving up from Iowa, and Pat and Nicole driving up from Southeast Minnesota. Melissa, obviously, is in the cities. But when you talk about people having to drive a little bit, and, of course, a lot of our listeners are out state, they've got to drive a little bit. Rob, the weather forecast looks pretty good for next weekend.
Yeah, no, it does. I think we've all kind of enjoyed this latest round of winter. We had some nice snowfall and then temperatures where you could actually go out and enjoy it. But that said, we've had some nice melting now where, you know, I think people are ready to start the transition into spring. You know, the days are long enough, the roads are clear. So it's, and yet there's still a lot of snow on the ground, right? You can't get the yard in shape yet. So it's a good time for a show like this. You know, we're running 3 days. MNDeerClassic.com, by the way, is the website if folks want more, you know, information on some of these things. Friday night is ladies' night, and a ton of kids' activities, too. You know, we've got this Wild Trail Kid Zone that we're really excited about. So If you're looking for a way to, get kids in and spend a day, entertaining them and, exposing them to kind of the outdoor industry and outdoor sports, you can't pick a better event, I dare say, than the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic.
Yeah, it's always a good time, and this time of year too, a lot of people are probably suffering from cabin fever a little bit. They haven't, fishing has obviously slowed down a little bit. You haven't been able to get the shotgun or the bow out or anything like that. So it's nice to be able to get out and gather around with other outdoors men and women and talk about things that you enjoy. And with you got a bunch of seminars, of course, taking place all weekend. It's the Minnesota, the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic next weekend at the State Fairgrounds that we're talking about here on Sporting Journal Radio. Lee and Tiffany, they're doing seminars all 3 days. Is that right?
Yes, they are, as well as, like I say, Nicole and Pat Reeve and Melissa Bachman, Tony Peterson, the guys from Whitetail Properties. We got two seminar stages, so there's always a couple seminars going at any one time. I'll be the guy running the seminar stages, so please feel free to come by and taunt me if I wrote something that you didn't like. At noon on Saturday, we're going to have Tom Landwehr, DNR Commissioner, and Lou Cornicelli, the DNR Wildlife Research Manager, kind of Mr. Deer here in Minnesota. They're going to kind of do a Q&A, just take questions from attendees on any natural resource issue, although I suspect deer management will be front and center with a lot of folks. And I want to point out that, it's the attendees who are really the heart and soul of this show, because they're the ones that bring antlers from around the state. If you took a deer last fall, the 60-day drying period is past now. We've got free antler scoring. Bring your antlers in. Get them scored. And then we're going to put them up on our wall, our wall with all the other entrants. You got a chance to win a prize in one of, I think, 24 or 25 categories. And, people all weekend are going to be admiring the antlers you brought in. So that's the soul of this show right on the center of the floor. We're really proud of that.
Rob Dreeslein is our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with Outdoor News. We're talking about the Deer and Turkey Classic next weekend at the State Fairgrounds. Do you know what kind of seminars the guys are going to be doing, like Lee and Tiffany or Melissa Bachman, mainly deer hunting tips, I'm assuming?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of emphasis, of course, on deer hunting. Some of the seminars include, Melissa is going to be talking tactics for decoying whitetails. Tony Peterson, public land bucks, tips for tagging out on tough-to-kill whitetails. Lee and Tiffany are going to do a Q&A at one point. So if you've ever seen their show and you've just had kind of an out-of-the-blue question for them, I can't think of a better place to sit down and kind of have a conversation with them. That's what it's going to be, kind of conversational. Dick Alford will be there. That guy's killed, I think, hundreds of turkeys, so he's going to be doing tips on turkey hunting. This week's print edition of Outdoor News has a complete seminar lineup, the show program we printed in there. So check that out. Pick up a copy of this week's Outdoor News or go to mndeerclassic.com. You can see a whole breakdown of all the seminars and all the attractions.
Melissa Bachman is amazing, and she told me a story one time on the radio show here about calling, when you think about black bear hunting, you think about guys up in tree stands over bait, and it's like, okay, it's not the easiest hunting, but it may be not the most challenging as long as everything is in your favor. She likes to call them in with a predator call, and she told me the story about calling in a black bear, and it was charging at her, it was running at her. And the thing, I don't know how it stood up or whatever, but she shot that thing with her bow as it was running at her in a little spot right under the neck. And listening to her tell this story on the radio show, I was transfixed. I could not believe it. It was an unbelievable story, and made my respect level for Melissa Bachman go way up, Rob.
Oh yeah, I've seen video of a couple of her bear hunts, and you can see her. You can just about see her heart jumping out of her throat. I mean, it's beating so fast. Melissa has worked very hard to get where she is. I know the guy who hired her in one of her first outdoor jobs, and says she's a mover and a shaker. I've seen her interact on the show floor. I've seen her, hustling, and I've got nothing but respect for that young lady.
Yeah, she's great, and she'll be doing seminars all 3 days next weekend at the Deer and Turkey Classic at the State Fairgrounds. Rob Dreeslein, our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio. All the seminar times at mndeerclassic.com, of course, also in this week's edition of Outdoor News as well.
More with Rob coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
Waterfowl Hunters.
Waterfowl Hunters.
If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season, you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfowl action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfowl migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, Pat and Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
Deer and Turkey Classic at the State Fairgrounds. Rob Dreeslein, our guest here on Sporting Journal Radio. All the seminar times at mndeerclassic.com, of course, also in this week's edition of Outdoor News as well. And Rob, one of the cool things I think I want to talk about too is last year we did a story for Prairie Sportsman with Wild Images in Motion with the two-headed fawn. It was at the SCI banquet last weekend. It might be one of the neatest things you'll be able to see at the Deer Classic this weekend, in my opinion.
It is back, yes. The two-headed fawn is back for this year's show, so please come check that out. We've got a lot of some featured artists. We've got Mike Sieve and Greg Alexander. They're going to be showcasing this border battle series that they've done. I interviewed Mike about that a little bit last week. You know, that's way cool.
Yeah, I know the story of the Jordan buck, Rob, and I actually had dinner with Michael last weekend, but I hadn't heard about this border battle series yet. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, and we've got a story on that. I forget, page 24, I think, of this week's print edition of Outdoor News if you want to read about it a little bit. But, yeah, so Mike's from Minnesota. Greg Alexander's from Wisconsin. And they thought it would be fun to put together a painting of these two bucks, the Breen buck and the Jordan buck, squaring off. And you know, they're kind of making the point that these bucks are from kind of the same era, and they lived not that far away from each other. And was it possible that these two titans of upper Midwest deer royalty ever, you know, faced off? And so that's what they painted. And it's, you know, you got two great artists painting two of the, you know, largest bucks that ever walked North America squaring off. And it's a fun piece of artwork. And they'll be on hand to chat about it with attendees at booth number 68. And we'll also have replicas of those two whitetails,
really?
Those record, yeah, on hand at the show. So there's a lot of legendary bucks that will be on display at the show. So if you've ever wondered what some of these things look like up close and in person, you get to see them at our show.
Well, I saw that the Dylan Beach buck, the Jim Wackler, Stan Kreidermacher, Deb Luzinski, and I saw some of the pictures on the website, mndeerclassic.com. There are some absolute giants that you're going to have there.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. The Bergdorf buck, a record Minnesota shed, the World Slam of Turkeys, and some other rare Minnesota turkeys, a blonde-faced turkey, a white-faced turkey. It's just a lot of fun, and it's kind of a celebration of everything outdoors, everything outdoor news. A good chance for folks to come interact with our staff. I'll be there. Tim Spielman will be there. Tony Peterson. You know, other folks that you read in the paper, if you've ever, if you like what we read or maybe, or what we write, or maybe what maybe you don't like some of the stuff we've written. Come on in. Let's chat about it and talk outdoors in a real positive, upbeat environment.
Rob Dreisland, our guest from Outdoor News, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Deer and Turkey Classic next weekend at the State Fairgrounds, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A rare albino buck, a full body mount will be there. And I'm guessing, Rob, that the giant that was poached down by Cannon Falls will be there with the tip wall of shame.
Yeah, I presume so. That's right. That's not the most positive thing, but it is pretty amazing. Some of the antlers that you're going to see in that wall of shame. It's good the DNR brings that, and let's look at that and realize what goes on out there, and make sure we can do our part to make sure bucks like that are taken legally.
You know, and I know they both get hammered sometimes, but you gotta love the fact that Tom Landwehr and Luke Cornicelli will do a Q&A with people there.
Oh yeah, and I'm going to emcee that, and I've said publicly in my column that Tom's the best DNR commissioner I've ever had the pleasure of working with. I've been covering Minnesota's outdoor scene for more than 25 years. And I think Tom's the best. I think Luke Cornicelli is darn good at what he does also. There's people who disagree with some areas of deer management in the state, but both those guys engage the public. You know, they don't lock themselves in the ivory tower. They, you know, this is a Saturday in the middle of March when, they could be doing other things, I'm sure. And it's nice of those guys to come and sit down and face off with the public. I'm going to be taking questions. We're going to keep it respectful, but I encourage people to come and ask some hard questions about CWD management. I'm going to ask a hard question or two about CWD management, I think, and other natural resources issues. We're lucky to have these guys. And, you know, Tom's probably in his last year at DNR commissioner. So yeah. We're lucky to have him, we're lucky to have him at this event.
Great guy. And always, yep. Always willing to take the time. If you stop him somewhere and ask him a few questions, he's always willing to take the time and listen to your question and give you his perspective on it. So that's
yep.
Great.
Yep.
When is that Q&A, Rob?
Yes, that is on at noon on Saturday, March 10th on stage A at noon, Saturday, March 10th.
Few minutes left here with Rob Dreisland from Outdoor News talking about the Deer and Turkey Classic happening next weekend at the State Fairgrounds, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's going to be some live animals there, Rob?
Yeah, we'll have some live wolves on hand. Forever Wild will be bringing an exhibit of a couple live wolves, so yeah, come check that out. Most of the animals, however, are going to be mounted. They're going to be from hunting seasons past, but that's a good chance for kids. Like I said, this Wild Trails Kids Zone is going to have all kinds of cool stuff for youth. Laser shot, a rubber band shoot, and NWF, Wild Turkey Federation, is going to be giving away a bunch of owl hooter locator calls to the first 30 kids that visit their booth each day. There's going to be a stocked trout pond. A1 Archery is going to offer introductory archery lessons. So if there's a kid out there that's never shot a bow and wants to give it a crack, this is a great opportunity.
Well, it's a neat event, and it's taking place. I'm glad you guys picked it up and brought the show back to the fairgrounds Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, you know, we really haven't talked a whole lot about turkey. We just kind of touched on it a little bit, but turkeys are part of the show too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be several seminar speakers focusing on turkey hunting. We're just, from the time our show hits, it's just another month, right, until the turkey hunting seasons get going here. April 18th is our first spring turkey season this year. So, just a little over, 6 weeks from now, basically, until turkey hunting starts. So that's going to be on a lot of people's minds. There'll be some guys selling turkey calls. You can feel free to test them out and get some tips on turkey calling and turkey hunting in general.
Well, it's next weekend, Friday from 1 to 9, Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday from 10 to 5, at the State Fairgrounds in St. Paul, mndeerclassic.com, right, Rob?
Yep, that's the website. We're at the Warner Coliseum. Free parking. You know, I want to remind everybody of that. You don't have to pay to park. Visit the website, the mndeerclassic.com. We've got a $2 off coupon there. Bring that in and get a couple bucks off on admission. Remember, ladies' night. There's a discount for ladies on Friday night. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of folks, having a big crowd. We're going to have a good time.
And you can read more about it, this week's printed edition of Outdoor News as well. What else is in this week's Outdoor News, Rob?
Well, again, so yeah, the center four pages are our show program. So check that out. I've got a story I wrote about that border battle series. You can see that. Then there's another page devoted to how the scoring will go at the show. If you want more information about that. There's a lot going on. I tell you what, we had a very newsy paper this week. I complimented Tim Spielman on that. But this crossbow thing, MDHA, they had a vote last weekend, Deer Hunters Association, saying they're not going to go to bat for crossbows during the regular bow season. I wrote my column about that. I pointed out in my column, I don't know if you're aware, but this, I swear I don't watch it, okay? But the TV show, The Bachelor, one of the two final gals is Becca Kufrin, who was Steve Kufrin's daughter. Now, Steve passed away in 2009, but he was an Outdoor News Man of the Year in 2005. And he was a southwestern Minnesota guy. He wrote for the Swift County Monitor News. I worked for the Fish and Wildlife Service for many years. I believe they dedicated a WMA in his name in Big Stone County, a waterfowl production area back in the day. So, you know, that's kind of a neat thing to see his daughter going off and making a name for herself also. Wow. So those are a couple things, yeah.
That is really neat, actually. I hadn't heard that, I guess.
But. Yeah. Well, I won't hold against you if you don't watch
The Bachelor.
Yeah,
no.
Brett. And I don't either, but... I heard about it on kind of some pop culture radio here in the Twin Cities. I was like, man, that name sounds familiar. And I looked into it. I was like, wow, that was Bucky, Steve Buckshot, Kufrin's daughter. Huh. By the way, one other story, Javier Cerna's got a piece about, this walleye bag limit discussion. That continues to kind of brew. Are we going to maybe lower the walleye bag limit here in Minnesota? That came out of the round table this past year, and it seems to be building momentum.
Gosh, we didn't even talk topics like that. I mean, Rob, we could probably have you on for the full hour talking about lowering walleyes or crossbows or anything like, I just had Craig Engwall on the show talking about the MDHA stance on the crossbows. So much to do. We're running out of time. So I appreciate the time here on the show. Good luck with the event next weekend at the State Fairgrounds, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, mndeerclassic.com. Rob, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Brett. Anytime. Happy to join you, man.
Say hi to Javier for me, also Tim and Brian Peterson and the guys over there at Outdoor News. And good luck next weekend.
Will do. Thanks for having me on. Have a great week.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lukowski, Pat and Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and on demand at in Podcastable and iTunes. Tyler Scott, our guest right now. I want to talk predator hunting before winter gets over, because we just really haven't talked predator hunting much yet this year. Tyler, how has the season gone for predator hunting and trapping for you?
Well, for myself, I haven't been out as much as I would like to. We've got a little 9-month-old that it's amazing how much time she she's really eating into the hunting equation, but it's all fun. It's really fun having a new little one, but sure. Been able to get out a few times recently, actually, and actually had some luck as wily as they can be, especially late in the season that we're kind of getting into being now. You know, they've been called at from who knows what type of calls. And so they get a little more wary, a little more challenging, that's for sure.
He's talking primarily coyotes, I'm guessing. And this weekend, this weekend is really the first time I've had a chance to get out. I don't have a 9-month-old at home. I just have been busy. But this would be the first weekend I've had a chance to get out. And, you know, we leave for South Dakota to chase snow geese next week. So this is kind of my window. Mm-hmm. It is late season, but do you think a guy could have success this weekend?
Oh, for sure. You know, we're just coming off that full moon. Actually, last night was the full moon. So getting out in those evening hours, and we had all this fresh snow recently, so everything's white. And before, about 3 weeks ago, we had a coyote tournament held out of Rodsay, Minnesota, that we've done for the last 7 years. And there was some questionable, you know, amount of snow, because a lot of fields out west are black, which makes it a little more challenging, especially if you're trying to do some spotting of the coyotes rather than calling in. A lot of those guys do that. But now, you know, we've got plenty of snow. The moon is up. And you know, they're still in their breeding season. We're probably on the tail end of it, but they're still out there. I mean, this last weekend I was up Friday and I shot one Friday. Took a long time. I don't know if I've ever sat on stand this long, but it took about 45 minutes before this coyote finally came in. And I didn't even see it coming in. I worked through a progression of calls and he finally came in at the end, shot him. And then the next morning, I had a triple coming, but they held up at about 250 yards. But that was after about a half hour of calling. So, I mean, they aren't beating down my doorstep by any means. So it's got to be patient. I'd say if there's anything I've learned, you got to be really patient.
You know, I was at Walmart the other day, and this sweet older lady came up to me. And it's so funny. I must have been wearing some sort of camouflage because she asked me how hunting had been. And I said, well, it's been a pretty good year. And she said, well, do you hunt coyotes? And, you know, you never know how that conversation is going to go, especially in a public place. And I said, well, I'd like to. I just need to find the time. And she smiled and said, you shoot every damn one of those you see, which is great. You know, and she was a farmer, and farmers hate coyotes, of course. So, so if I were to go out and hunt this weekend, and you kind of hinted at some of the techniques that you use, but if I were to go hunt this weekend, what would you tell me to do?
Well, first off, obviously you got to find a coyote, locations you're looking for, you know, deer herds, you know, getting next to deer herds is what I concentrate and look for this time of year, because those coyotes are definitely going to be around a herd of deer looking for weak, sick, wounded, potentially for whatever reason. I mean, deer season a long time ago, maybe there's some still out there gimping around, but, you know, a food source. So deer is one of them. If you got a deer herd next to a big cattail slough, especially you're down in, you know, southwestern part of the state, big cattail sloughs, big swamps, that's a great area for them to hold up in. Also, we're getting into calving season, and coyotes definitely like hanging around herds of cattle. So that's another thing to look for. If you have thick cover next to cattle, too, that's another spot I'll call next to. When it comes to calls, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tyler.
When it comes to calls, my kind of go-to sequence-wise, if you were to think like a coyote, which I try to do, which may sound weird to some, but you know, typically start out with just an interrogation or a female invitation type howl. See if you get any sort of response. If you don't be alarmed or don't be afraid to keep calling. It's more so just telling other coyotes, hey, I'm a coyote, I'm in the area. If they want to respond, they can respond, and you can kind of go from there. And then after the interrogation howls, female invitation howls, whatnot, then, you know, after, you know, do a female invitation howl, or an interrogation howl, let it be quiet for a few minutes, maybe do a couple more. Then I'll go into a distress, you know, whether it's a jackrabbit or a cottontail. You can kind of mix it up. If you called in that area before and used one call, I definitely switch to another. If you've known someone else has called in the area, maybe try a different type of distress. You know, just mix it up a little bit. You know, do that for 10, 15 minutes. Let it quiet down for a little bit, and then what's worked the last two sets, Friday and Saturday, what actually got these coyotes to come in was a coyote in distress or a pup in distress, whatever your electronic call may have, or if you're able to do it on a handheld call. But it seems like that pup in distress, you know, gets them running in curiosity, protecting their young, protecting another coyote in their pack, you know, whatever it may be. That seems to be the ticket.
How about time of day?
First and last light, of course, is going to be your best bet. And when animals are most active at night, especially now with this full moon, you know, low winds, if you have, like today, it'd be a gorgeous day out there. We have low winds today. That way, obviously, they can hear you from a long ways away. You can hear them if they want to respond back. You know, if it is windy, you might need to get a little tighter to that cover or wherever that you think they might be holding up in. And, of course, you got to play the wind. And those coyotes have a very, very good nose. And if you have two of you, ideally, you know, have one on your point with the call and another covering your downwind, because a lot of times they'll try and circle in downwind. Yeah, it's really, really helpful to have somebody with you to cover that downwind spot.
Do you use a decoy at all?
You know, I don't, but the guy I was with on Saturday, I had out, he was covering my downwind, and I told him, I said, that would have been an ideal set to have a coyote decoy out on this slough, because I truly believe if they would have seen that decoy, you know, out on this point these cattails were on, I really believe they would have come in. But, you know, they held up at that about 250, 300. Hmm. You know, they just didn't have that visual of something over there. They just heard something, and you know, like I say, they've probably been called that a little more weary this time of year.
Tyler Scott, our guest here. How have fur prices been this winter?
You know, they've been okay from what I have heard. I haven't sold any myself. I haven't been able to do the trapping that I've done in the past either. But they've been pretty solid. You know, I know guys have been bringing them just on the round, not even skinning them out or fleshing them, which if you've done it, you know, it's a ton of work. And from what I was hearing of guys getting, you know, $40 for a coyote right on the round, which in my eyes is a very good price for just shooting and dropping off.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of these fur traders, you know, if you touch that coyote and you skin it out and if there's any blemishes to it, it's not going to help your price, of course. And so, and you aren't going to get that much more for fleshing and drying.
For all the work. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, Tyler, I want to have you on next week too, because we want to talk turkeys. We're not that far away from the turkey season. Does that sound good?
Yep, sounds perfect.
Thanks. All right, Tyler Scott again next week in here on Sporting Journal Radio, and thanks for being on the show this week.
While North Dakota fishing doesn't close, there are some important dates to be aware of. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Winter anglers are reminded that midnight, March 15th, is the deadline to remove permanent fish houses from North Dakota waters and from any state wildlife management area or federal refuge land. Fish houses may be used after March 15th if they are removed daily. Anglers are advised to use caution while accessing area lakes because mild weather conditions can quickly result in unstable ice conditions that can make removing a fish house with a vehicle difficult or dangerous. Even on lakes where ice remains solid away from shore, anglers should watch the weather and adjust activities accordingly. Ice conditions can vary from region to region, between lakes in the same region, and even on the same lake. In other news, statistics from last year's special big game hunting seasons have been tabulated. Harvest information released by the Game and Fish Department's overall hunter success during the 2017 season for bighorn sheep was 100%, 92% for moose, and 58% for elk. The department issued 4 bighorn sheep licenses and auctioned 1. All 5 hunters harvested a bighorn ram. The department issued 245 moose licenses last year. Of that total, 240 hunters harvested 221 animals, 138 bulls, and 83 cows or calves. For elk, the department issued 400 licenses last year. Of that total, 362 hunters harvested 211 elk, 112 bulls, and 99 cows or calves. Once again, it was another successful year for holders of once-in-a-lifetime moose, elk, and bighorn sheep licenses. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, Pat Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Waterfall Hunters.
Waterfall Hunters. If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season, you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfall action possible. Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfall migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com. No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Once again, we're going to head back up to that giant walleye factory in northern Minnesota, Lake of the Woods, and talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, where were you last week, in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, we had a sports show in Madison, Wisconsin. It was called the Wisconsin Fishing Expo, and good show.
Now, I don't know about you, Joe, but every time, I travel out to the other side of Wisconsin to try to chase sturgeon on Winnebago over there with Jamie Dittman all the time, and we always have to stop at a cheese shop on the way back. Now, I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin growing up, so the whole cheese shop thing in Wisconsin, I've been there, done that, but it seems like every time we travel a few hours into that state, we have to stop at a cheese shop and pick up some cheese. So the where I'm going with this, Joe, is did you pick up some cheese on your way back?
No, I didn't pick up cheese. I didn't pick up beer, neither.
How does that – I think that's illegal not to drink, not to buy beer, first of all, in Wisconsin. But beer and cheese, isn't that a requirement to enter the state?
You know, it's amazing how many cheese shops there are. And, you know, really, on one note, it's just part of it has to do with the proud dairy in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And I didn't pick up any cheese. I kind of drove straight through, you know, after a 4-day show, or actually a 3-day show, but being there 4 days, you know, you're kind of ready just to get home and decompose a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, it's like one of those traditions. It seems like every time you go there, you got to get some cheese. And every time you go up to Lake of the Woods, you have to buy tackle. It just seems like every time I go up into that area, I got to stop we'll stop in Greenbush sometimes. We'll stop in Bedette, of course, stop in War Road and Roseau, whichever direction we're heading up there. We always stop and pick up some lures while we're up there, Joe, because there's just some stuff you can find up there that you don't find in other places.
Well, you know, it's true. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the bait shops and the resorts up at Lake of the Woods, they obviously carry tackle that's geared towards Lake of the Woods anglers and what the fish react to. And, you know, one of the interesting things is we actually have a tackle company up at Lake of the Woods called Tom's Tackle. And the majority of the lures they make are geared towards both Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River. And they're good lures. I mean, things like the pink charmer, the stop sign, you know.
I hadn't heard of the stop sign until I fished Lake of the Woods, Joe, and it worked.
Really? And they work darn good. And, you know, but it's not only the lures, it's the shapes, it's the sizes, it's the colors, you know, the golds, the glow reds, the combination of golds with glow colors. I love using a jiggle bit on my dead stick line, which is almost like that call hook with a piece of lead in good colors. You know, the jigs they make for the Rainy River in the spring are a little bit heavier. Some of them are a little bit longer shank to put a emerald shiner on it. I mean, they just, you know, they're making gear geared towards Lake of the Woods first, but you know, obviously it works in other bodies of water. But my point is, those are some of the things you can get up at in Bidette and around Lake of the Woods that you can't get in other areas. So I would actually go into the bait shops, even though I have more tackle than a person needs. I will go in there and pick up a few items just because there's always something new coming out, and they have tackle that for whatever reason works really, really well on Lake of the Woods, you know.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods. And right now, Joe, can't catch walleyes in the majority of Minnesota, but you can up at Lake of the Woods. And when you talk tackle and you talk late ice walleye fishing right now, a lot of those walleyes have been seeing all these jigs for the last few months thrown at them. Do you change tactics at all late season like this?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think that, you know, some walleyes and saugers have seen jigs, but, you know, there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a million acres of water in Lake of the Woods. There are a lot of them that haven't seen jigs and stuff. So, no, I think that you, if it was me, I'd stay with the tried and proven. And, you know, yeah, so you made the comment, you know, ice fishing through March on Lake of the Woods. And it's true. You know, we, because we're border water, we get extended seasons. And we're allowed to keep our fish houses out on the ice through March 31st. The walleye season extends through April 14th. And, you know, pike and perch and crappies and such, they never close. The pike season on Lake of the Woods never closes. It's open all the time. And we got a trophy pike fishery. And, of course, you know, it leads into March, which is a great time to fish. But, no, you asked about would I change tactics. No, I wouldn't. I would use a 1-2 approach of a jigging in one hole and dead stick in the other hole. And if it was me, I'd start out with a jigging spoon, maybe have a little bit of a rattle in it. I would I kind of lean on a combination of gold with like a glow red, tipped with either a minnow head, or I'll also like pinching off that tail of a minnow, Brett, and, you know, tipping the treble hook with that. I like that tail sometimes because of the extra action it adds. I don't use a big chunk of minnow, but I like that tail. Just it stays on the hook real good. But then on a dead stick line, you know, there's things you can do. The one thing I'll say is when you're fishing with another angler, try different things so you figure out what the walleyes want that day. But I would go with either a jiggle bit on a dead stick line with a glow jigabit, just glow white, and with a live minnow about 6 inches to a foot off the bottom. The other thing I might do is take an octopus hook, maybe a number four octopus hook, and hook a live minnow, and hook that live minnow and keep that live minnow just under a split shot a little ways, and let that live minnow just do its thing real naturally down there. What ends up happening is, and sometimes when you're jigging, you'll get the fish that are aggressive, but even if those fish aren't aggressive, the jigging line will pull fish in to take a look at it, get their attention, and then they'll slide over and grab that dead stick if they're neutral.
And we saw some of your techniques when you're jigging, when you see fish on your electronics in the Prairie Sportsman Field Guide that you can find at prairiesportsman.org or also on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page. And, you know, you can go up there and catch walleyes right now, and it'd be hard for me not to try to chase walleyes and saugers on Lake of the Woods right now. But, Joe, I love eating northern pike, too, and right now is the time you could really get after some big pike up there.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, most people – it's funny, Brett, because most people that are targeting pike with tip-ups right now, and they are starting – the pike are definitely starting to go. They're not really looking for food as much as they are for
trophies, I suppose.
Looking for a 25-pounder to get a picture of and put that big grill back. But no, you can keep some pike on Lake of the Woods. In fact, the slot limit on Lake of the Woods, Brett, is that you can keep 3 fish per day, and anything between 30 and 40 inches you must return. You're allowed to keep 1 fish over 40 inches per day for pike on Lake of the Woods. So you can keep your 3 fish per day under 30 inches. Usually if people keep one over 40, Brett, it's going on the wall,
right?
That's you know, your choice. You know, right now it's becoming that time, and I'll tell you what makes ice fishing for pike this time of the year all the way through March so good. It's that, number one, the days are getting longer and the pike sunset, hence the feed bait starts kicking in because spawning is coming up. So that's number one. So the big pike have the feed bait on. Secondly, you know, pike are oftentimes spread out. They don't school. But this time of year, the pike will end up in the same areas. They're not schooling, but they're going to adjacent to their spawning areas where they'll go into spawn. That's called pre-spawn areas. And they're in the pre-spawn areas right now, and they're getting congregated because that's just where the fish are ending up. And It gives somebody who wants to fish pike with a tip up a really good opportunity, not only to get a lot of flags in a day, but also to catch a trophy pike of a lifetime. You know, the one thing we ask is that when you go fishing on Lake of the Woods, there is a good chance you're going to catch some big pike. What we ask is that you're prepared. Have your camera ready. Have your needle nose pliers ready. Have your jaw spreaders ready to open that big pike's mouth to get that hook out. Most people use a quick strike rig, and that's going to reduce hooking mortality. But just do your part to make sure those big girls get back healthy.
Now, do you see people using insulated tip-ups or a kind of a variety, or what are you seeing out there for tip-ups?
You know, we see everything. Couple things I'll mention about tip-ups. You know, I've spoken to some people recently, even on that with that stained water in Lake of the Woods, putting a hole cover over your tip-up so there's no light shining down. You know, on occasion, that'll get you a lot more flags. You know, it's amazing that that makes such a difference on Lake of the Woods. And some people don't do it and they still catch plenty of fish. But I've spoken to some real good anglers lately that said, you know, that the tip ups they had with a hole cover blocking the light made outproduced the other ones more than 2 to 1. So I think there's something to that. You know, when you're talking about the business end of a tip up, you know, the quick strike rig, and you know, for, you know, listeners who don't know what a quick strike rig, basically, it's just a leader material that Y's off, and on each part of the Y, there's a treble hook. One treble hook goes just behind the head of a big minnow, and the other treble hook goes just in front of the tail. Consequently, that bait will hold horizontally into the water, which looks natural. Secondly, when a big pike grabs it, you know, you don't have to wait for him to take it and turn the minnow and have a chance for hooking mortality or missing a strike. Because you got a treble in the front and back of the minnow, as soon as they hit that thing, you set that hook, and it's not only more effective for hook sets, but it's also a good conservation measure. You know, Brett, everything from live suckers to dead Ciscos to frozen smelt to, you know, whatever the case might be. Big thing is just anglers got to know you can't just stop at a local meat market or fish market and pick up bait anymore. You have to buy it from a bait dealer, so it's the bait's certified because of the VHS in the state of Minnesota.
Just a minute left here with Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism on Sporting Journal Radio. Joe, if a guy wants to drive up there, you know, we're always proponents of talking to resorts and guides up there. But if a guy wants to come up and chase big pike with tip-ups, where would you tell him to go?
You know, I would work through some resorts. You know, some go-to areas on Lake of the Woods, 4 Mile Bay, which is the mouth of the Rainy River. The 4 Mile Bay holds a lot of big pike this time of year. The other one is the Morris Point, Bostic Creek area. That whole area behind Pine Island, again, holds a lot of big pike. There'll also be some pike out in front on the lake side of that area getting staged to come in. Out in front of Zippo Bay, just to the west of the jetty, they fish pike out there and do real well. The Arneson's Rocky Point area, that whole point around Long Point, all the way over to Arneson's, that shoreline, those pike will get in there, and it's very, very good area to catch them. And, of course, just a little bit farther to the west, you got that whole Muskeg Bay, which you can go out of the Swift Ditch area, which is just to the west of Arneson's Rocky Point. That's a big, shallow, muddy bay, and there's a lot of big pike that goes swimming around there in March.
Well, if people want to get up there for pike or late-season walleye or even start thinking about the rainy this spring, where do they find out more information, Joe?
You know what? Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook is always a good source. Otherwise, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.